It's Helping Hand, weekly feature, HPR, as part of All Things Considered during Afternoon Drive. Every Friday afternoon, Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to the disabled and the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we are thrilled to be welcoming back the SPIN Network. Special Parent Information Network is what SPIN stands for. According to their website, parent-to-parent organization in Hawaii that provides information, support, and referral to parents of children and young adults with disabilities, and also to the professionals who serve them. We are privileged today. We're learning about their efforts on behalf of the disabled with the coordinator at the SPIN Network, Susan Rocco, and the program specialist, Amanda Ka'ahanui. Ka'ahanui. With the program specialist, Amanda Ka'ahanui. Jason approves in the other room. So, thank you very much, both Amanda and Susan, for coming down. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. Good to see you. Explain what the SPIN Network is for folks, because undoubtedly it's a new thing, and there are probably some people listening this could be invaluable to.
SPIN is actually an old thing. We're more than three decades old. But you're right in that many folks don't know that we're around, especially young families whose children have just been diagnosed with disabilities. And we are a mainly phone support to families, but we have annual events like our SPIN conference that allow them to network, to get good information for their families, to feel supported and connected.
We also provide a weekly e-blast of events and workshops, things that are happening in our community statewide. We have a quarterly newsletter that lets folks know what's happening in the state with special education, as well as national trends, and then also spotlighting great things that are happening around us. And we have a Facebook page and a super website that allows folks to get resources and information at their fingertips.
And some of the way that you guys work is to take advantage of the variety of other resources that different organizations that are catered towards supporting the disabled and their loved ones are offering, and kind of helping to get that information out there and more available to other people who can use it.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks will call us and say, where do I find? How do I get to? What do I do? Is there something out there? And that's one of the things that we do, is provide that resource, kind of that clearinghouse of resources. And we like to make sure that we're giving families a place to go that's not a fly-by-night. You know, we don't want to give them a number of something that's not going to be around tomorrow. We also want to make sure it's evidence-based practices that are being shared with families, so it's not just some crazy off-the-cuff, treatment for families. We want to make sure they're really getting good quality resources and information.
And how does that relationship work with the other organizations? Because that's one of the unique things that you guys do, and I think it's really invaluable too, because part of the thing that one of the reasons that for Helping Hand in general is that there are often a lot of resources for the disabled, but sometimes those resources are very hard to find because the organizations aren't huge. They don't have the capabilities to put themselves in front of everyone via advertising or whatever other methods. So the stuff can fall between the cracks. So when it comes to getting the information from the myriad of other organizations that are out there, how does that work? Do you have a relationship with them? Do they send you stuff, or is it a matter of you have to search it out from them, or both?
We started out using the traditional websites, and we discovered really early on that some of them misrepresent what they do for families. So over the years, we've kind of vetted resources, and we find out new things. People do volunteer information for us. And a great way to keep connected with agencies is through our annual conference, which we had on April 22nd, and we managed to have over 60 different agencies with their tables explaining to families what their services were and how to help them. And that was really helpful to families who had no idea that all those resources were available.
And talking directly to when it comes to the parents of disabled young adults or children, and even maybe more so folks who are just facing a new diagnosis that something has occurred, if you can speak directly to them about what are the advantages of the resources that you offer, and just in a way that they would understand that this organization has something that is important for them.
Well, I think one of the things that SPIN really has to offer families is Susan and I are both parents. of a child with a disability. And so we've kind of been there, done that. I'm still going through the process myself, so we can really relate to families. Sometimes families call us with a new diagnosis. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to act or behave themselves. We can just talk to them on the phone, parent to parent. And that's a really valuable thing for parents, to talk to other parents. And then we can get them connected to other resources to help them along on that journey. Sometimes families call and say, my meeting is coming up. I don't know what to do. And we can just sit and talk story with them and say, well, what are you looking for? What are you wanting for your child? They often know the answers in themselves, but they get wrapped up in the stress of the moment and don't know what to do. So we can help sort of pull that out of them and help them feel confident and to be the advocate that we know they can be for their children.
And when you were talking, Susan, about plugging into sort of vetting the variety of organizations that are out there, just to be clear for folks listening, this is a variety of kinds of disabilities. So if it's, whether it's cognitive or physical, whatever the wide range of difficult situations that could be facing your child, you guys are plugging into a large group of nonprofits and other organizations that cover a large range of disabilities, correct?
That's correct. So our funding is actually, as Amanda mentioned, through the Department of Education. And legally, the U.S. Department of Education serves students with disabilities and young children with disabilities up to age 22. So that's our general population that we serve, 0 to 22, and not with direct service, but with information support and referral. But because I'm an old mama now, we also know a lot about adult services. And our specialty is the parent support. We're child-focused, too, but our focus is on the family and what kinds of supports the whole family needs to be successful.
Caregiver support in a lot of ways.
All of that.
And talk about that. Now, that's something when it comes to, you guys do, in addition to, so it's primarily a phone, so people have a problem, they have a situation, sort of like Amanda was describing, they can reach out to you guys via phone. Are there also typical support groups that occur in person that you, or is that basically an element of the organizations you're linked to, and they're providing these on a very regular basis?
Right. So we know that there's a support group that's happening, if there's a workshop that's happening, someone else is having a conference, we're going to link families up to those existing supports that are out there in our community.
And the conference that you guys did in April, which is an annual event, is that that's a once-a-year major conference where you're getting together a lot of these different, I'm describing it for you, and you should really be describing, to describe what happens at the conference, who you're inviting, and who is also good for attending that.
Sure. So this year we had about 500 attendees. It's parents and professionals. It's folks with disabilities coming to the conference as well. So it's a really nice mix of people. We do 16 different workshops throughout the day in 3 breakout sessions. Susan said we had over 65 different organizations and agencies there as a resource room. One of the favorite parts of the conference for many of our attendees. We do an awards luncheon, really celebrating families and professionals who are doing things in our community that's making a difference. Mm-hmm. And then it's just a networking. So people come, we do get families, about 80 this year, from our neighbor islands that we're able to bring over with the help of some of our community partners as well as our contract. So it's just really a nice group of mix of people. People get to see each other again, or they haven't seen each other for a year, or new families are meeting other families that have similar diagnoses. And the thing is that we don't all have to have the same diagnosis to be on the same journey.
That's very true, and it's a great point. There are certain things that are shared between when I mentioned that it's a large range of both cognitive and physical disabilities. When you have a child or a loved one who's facing these impediments to them being able to live a life like a lot of the other folks that you see are living, there's a thing that you begin to share with other people, regardless of whether it's a visual thing for somebody, or somebody else can't walk, or somebody has a cognitive thing, because you run into similar roadblocks.
Absolutely.
And it's really about overcoming them, I guess.
Yeah, and advocating. We, as parents, we are the first and best advocate for our children. We're going to be there for the rest of their lives, through early intervention. We have early intervention helping our kids, but it's the parent that's leading that. And then when they're in the school system and then beyond school, it's always the parent and the caregivers that are there as that constant. And so we need to help raise them up to be the best advocates they can be and be partners.
Shaping them in a lot of ways.
Right.
Because it's not such an easy, that's a really intense thing to have in your life. And you've got to not only be looking out for yourself, but you essentially have to do battle on behalf of a disabled loved one who can't do it for themselves.
Right. And we really advocate for partnership because we see our kids, you know, in the school system moving through it, and we don't really want to battle. We don't want to fight each time. So we're really trying to help the families and the professionals to come together, you know, on equal footing, to look at each other equally so that we can be partners in this child's education and move forward.
Right. It's a collaborative effort, you're saying. And there are different, there's probably some difficult situations that you have to get through, but a lot of it, I get your point. You want to try to make it so that you're working together with the people who are working on behalf of your child to try to customize what they're doing to give your kid the best shot going forward, whether that's a school system or medical professionals, a variety of people. That's a good way of putting it. Do people have to pay for the services?
No, we're a part of a state agency, and our project is funded through
the DOH.
The Department of Education, actually.
Oh, okay.
DOH houses us, but DOE feeds us. And it's some of the special education dollars that they get from the U.S. Department of Education for serving students in special education. And so we don't, the only thing we charge is a minimal fee to feed folks at the conference. But every other bit of advice or material that we can give families is free.
And for people to get involved with the conference, do you, both in terms of taking advantage of what's offered there, but do you need support on that too? Is that an event that you need volunteers, or as we turn to ways that people could support you guys and try to effectuate a larger reach and more of a just help your mission to reach more people?
Well, we're always looking for help and volunteers, absolutely. We have a wonderful core of SPIN advisors from different agencies and organizations that help us to plan the conference throughout the year. And they also help us with spreading the word and providing volunteers and moderators for the conference. But if folks are out there that want to help or want to come and contribute, just give us a call. We'll be happy to find a spot for you. We also need help spreading the word. You know, letting families know that the conference is out there. Many families, like Susan said, just don't know that SPIN exists and don't know the conference is there for them as well. So if you have access to a newsletter, or, you know, you can let us give you a blurb that we can pop in there just to spread it out.
Kind of like what you're doing with organizations.
Right.
It's a reciprocal activity. On that note, Footsteps to Transition Fair is coming up. It's going to be in October. And there are, that's one of those things you talk about, people are not aware of necessarily what that could be or how that could help them. That is conceivably one of those. Explain.
Absolutely. Footsteps to Transition is a community accomplishment. It's a Department of Education event, and we have community members that come together and plan it throughout the year. Every year it's in a different district on Oahu. This year it's going to be at Windward, and it's for families who have kids that are in either middle school or high school and getting ready to plan that transition out of the Department of Education. What is it going to look like? Are they going to move on and get a higher education? Are they going to get a job? Are they going to move into an apartment? Are they going to go to a program? What is it that they need? And so the Department of Education has a transition plan for our kids as they move through high school and out and beyond. And so we are bringing resources together for families to kind of figure out what is out there, what's the next step. And so we're pretty excited for our next event in October.
And who is, in terms of people coming to that, that should be if you have a loved one who is soon going to be exiting the school system and you're looking to figure out what will be their next step, that would be a good person to come. Or are you also looking for service providers who you haven't yet hooked up with? Who listening would be a good fit to come to that.
Yeah, all of those things, right? So families, middle school transition starts at 14. It's when we're really starting to think about what's the next step for high school and then what's the next step beyond. So families with a child in middle school, 14 and above, we really encourage them to come, especially the high school families and their kids, to come and see what's out there. And then we are looking for our resource tables. Mm-hmm. So yes, if you are an organization that is supporting students and young adults and even older adults with disabilities out in the community and you would like to showcase what you're doing, then we would love to have you as a resource.
What's the date of this?
October 21st.
And this is happening where?
It's going to be at Windward Community College in Kaneohe.
And we'll be posting everything on our SPIN website as we get a little closer.
And our Facebook page.
And one thing, Dave, that families in Hawaii may not know is that several years ago there was a Ninth Circuit Court decision called ERK, which expanded special education services up to age 22. For years and years, it was up to age 20. So if you were 20 on the first day of school, you could not receive services. So what these services may be might be community-based services, but they are funded through the Department of Education. So it expands the transition process a little bit. But as families who've gone through it know, it takes a lot to get organized, and some of the efforts that you make are multi-year efforts. So the sooner you start planning, the better you feel because you have options for the future.
And this is something you take a few steps back and you think about. You're talking about it's a pretty serious thing. See, the child has been in one environment facing these struggles, but is in an environment where they've had things catered to them, and that's a big, it's not just a small transition, it's an enormous stage of life, both, I guess, for the parents and the disabled individual, because you're stuck here on this earth. You got to do something. That is a very, and that can be hard even if you don't have any kind of disability challenges. You're like, what do I do? How do I keep earning money and keep a roof over my head? I mean, there's a lot. And then you got to stay healthy. I mean, life is challenging. So these transitions are enormously challenging because as a parent, you're not only looking after your own life and trying to make sure everything's stable, but you have to make a decision with some foresight related to it for your child.
Right, and we don't want to have low expectations or too low of an expectation. You know, most of our kids can do something. Mm-hmm. It could be a micro enterprise, like Susan's son has a wonderful micro enterprise that he does at home with supports. It could be working in a store or a restaurant. It could be out volunteering in a library or other things. So we don't want to see young adults we don't want them to say, oh, you can't do that.
Right.
You can. You can do anything you want to do as long as you have the right supports to do that. So that's what we're trying to help families understand as well. Do they like to go to school? Well, maybe they can take a class at the community college with the right supports. Mm-hmm. And families often say, my kid could do that? Yes. Yes, they could if we can get you connected to the right resources.
You're talking about not limiting people's potential. And,
absolutely.
And a lot of the time, the ideas, as you also are sort of intimating, these ideas can come through when you talk to somebody else. You might be alone in your struggle, but when you have a chance to talk to people like in the SPIN network who are also going through this, you may be inspired. You know what? There's a lot more potential here. I'm not even realizing the potential. I shouldn't be so scared of what's going to be the reality for my child because there's more out there than I realize. And sometimes, you know, getting back to what I said earlier, you just don't know it's there yet.
Right. We find that fear of the unknown is a lot worse than the known. And families often will avoid planning because it's just too scary.
Right.
It's like estate planning. What'll happen when I die? And most folks are frozen by that concept.
Right.
But the sooner you do something, the better you feel about your child's future because you feel that they have options.
That's a real good point. You don't want to procrastinate on some of this stuff, and some of it's just not fun to deal with. Other ways that the audience listening can get involved by volunteering, contributing, spreading the word about the organization, anything and everything that you think would be useful in terms of helping the SPIN network and helping the individual families that you guys support, now's a good time to share it.
Well, if you are an organization that has parent-to-parent support that's available on a monthly or semi-monthly or, you know, a regular basis, we would love to hear about it, especially for our neighbor island families. You know, we have a lot of resources here on Oahu, but for our neighbor island families, it's really a struggle to find that community support. So we're always looking for those next supports for families. If you are doing a workshop, if you're doing something for, you know, professional development, let us know. Drop us an email. We'll be happy to share that on our website. We have a great events page. We can post it on our Facebook page and just let families know about it. So we are always reaching out and trying to get new and good information and something that's steady for families.
And this is kind of a big picture ask, but folks with disabilities belong in the community. They belong with everybody else. They have the same hopes and needs as all other citizens. So we just ask your listening audience to consider the importance of including people of all ages and their families in regular activities, whether it's church, it's clubs, it's fun at the beach, it's sitting next to somebody in the restaurant and making them feel comfortable. Our kids belong in the community, and so we call it inclusion, but mm-hmm. it's aloha.
Yeah, it's a big thing, and it's a big part of a lot of people who are facing a heavy-duty disability end up becoming isolated because it's very difficult to get around, and they themselves will give up on getting around because it's just, I don't want to have to go through the steps at this place, that they don't have a ramp, etc., and that just, it does lead down a terrible road, and it's a very common reality, and your point is extremely well taken. It's one of the important things because it's so easy to take for granted what you've got. And you just don't realize what it would be like to lose your mobility or any of these other facets that keep you, you know, functioning. The inclusion is a huge thing. And so I encourage any other nonprofits or organizations that work with the disabled or put on any kind of events that offer support for caregivers of the disabled to realize this is a great resource to help spread your message. And that's what they'll do with their e-blast, and they'll do with the annual conference that you guys do. And probably just as important, or maybe more important, the events that you're listing at your website, which is basically a clearinghouse for all these great resources that are otherwise can be really tricky to find. So you're giving them publicity, you're giving them a real asset. SpinHawaii.org is their website, and you can email them if you have something you want to submit, if you have a question, if you want to offer them assistance in their noble mission, spin@doh.hawaii.gov. You can give them a buzz, 808-586-8126. And a special note, if you're putting on events to assist the disabled and their loved ones and caregivers, and it's outside of the Honolulu area, there are less resources available for those folks, so it's even more important to reach out and let them know what you're doing so they can help give more exposure to that mission of yours. And also, it will probably help some people who are in those communities who don't know about what's going on. When they reach out, they'll find out about it. Other things that we didn't cover that are important, by all means, let's do that.
We have a great resource for families called the Parents Guide to Special Education. It's a wonderful flip chart. You can access it via our website, and we also have hard copies. So if families or professionals are looking for some guidance and understanding of what our Hawaii state laws for special education are, it's a really wonderful resource. And it's written for families, so it's in parent speak and not legalese. And they can reach out to us anytime for that.
And that relates to to the education plan that every child who has a disability works with the DOE to have created for them.
Right. So if you feel like your child might have a disability or you're concerned that there might be something going on, it will lay out how you go about asking for an evaluation. What if you're already in the system and you want to, you know, increase something or improve something? If you are having some conflict with them, how do you get that resolved? So all of those steps are laid out.
And that's one of the concerns, that if people are having a problem with the plan that's for their child and they're frustrated with it and they're frustrated with their interactions with the DOE, you want to hear from them because you can try to help. I mean, that's one of the, I'm assuming you'll correct me if I'm wrong, that is one of the more important parts of your role.
Absolutely.
That's true. And we love to quote a famous advocate named Pete Wright, who says, unless you plan to take your child out of public school and take them to private school, you need to treat your relationship with school like a marriage without the possibility of divorce. In other words, you need to find a way to work with, because mm-hmm. these folks are essential to your child's success. And often we can point them to folks within the school system that can be their ally.
That's fantastic. And that's a very important thing. It is the SPIN network that we've been hearing about here. And at HawaiiPublicRadio.org, you can get all the contact information, the radio feature, the full interview, all of our other Helping Hand segments that we've ever done. They're all archived there. You can listen to them, get all their resources, HawaiiPublicRadio.org. We've been privileged to have the coordinator of the SPIN network, Susan Rocco, and the program specialist, Amanda Ka'ahanui, has joined us today on the program. And a thrill to have you guys on Helping Hand. Thank you so much for what you're doing. It's a unique resource. And when it comes to getting resources for the disabled, it's a very difficult thing. And a lot of people will just spend their whole life not knowing about something that's out there. So it's really important. That's the whole idea of doing this bit. And I thank you super very much for coming and doing this with me.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you for your mission.